most self-loving things we can do as human beings is to live according to our own truth. But for some people, that's not always possible. These days, my next guest lives his truth as an openly gay man, happily married to his husband of 34 years. But there was a time when he didn't. He couldn't. Once upon a time, Dr. Lauren Olson wasn't able to be open about his sexuality. In fact, he didn't even realise that he was gay. But one day, at the age of 40, he made the decision that he could no longer live a lie and live outside of his authentic self. At the time, he was married to his wife of 18 years and was also a father to two daughters. Dr. Olson tells his story of coming out later in life in his book, Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight, which won the Ben Franklin Gold Award for Best LGBT Nonfiction. It's also currently on sale as an ebook at a discounted rate for Pride Month. And I'm delighted to say that Dr. Olson joins us on Weekend Breakfast to share his experience of coming out at 40. Dr. Olson, welcome to Weekend Breakfast with Sarah Jane King. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show with us this morning to share your extraordinary story with us. I want to take you back, if I may, to your earliest years. You were born in Nebraska in 1943. I hope that's not remiss of me to give away your age. Tell us a little bit about... tell us a little bit about Nebraska. Good, good. A little bit about Nebraska in 1943, politically and socially. What was the climate?
It was a very similar in some ways to the conservative politics in the United States right now. But at that time, socially, there was very little discussion about sexuality. I came from a town of about 1,000 people, and everybody there kind of thought alike and looked alike. It was a very Caucasian, Northern European roots population. And the church was the center of the community, and everyone attended and believed pretty much the same things. In the 1950s, there was the McCarthy era in the United States, where there became a real witch hunt for people who were homosexual. There was an attempt to try and purge the government of homosexuals. They were considered to be pathological and potentially a risk to the government. So there was a great attempt to try and identify these people and restrict their activity. So it was very anti-homosexual at that time. And the word homosexual is the one that I use when I talk about history, because it was the word that was most commonly used, and it was pathologized at that time. So early in my history, I was considered a pathologic deviant.
On your website, you obviously have information there about your book, Finally Out, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But there's a little preface there, and it says, Dr. Lauren A. Olson has been frequently asked two questions. One, how could you not know that you were gay until the age of 40? And I will leave the other question just for a second. Was it that you didn't know that you were gay until the age of 40? Or was it simply that you were unable to live your most authentic self until the age of 40?
I really didn't know, you know, and people find that hard, but, you know, there's a psychological mechanism called denial, and it's not denial in the sense I didn't do that. It's a denial that's so powerful that we partition off parts of our brain so that we don't even recognize it. So after I began the process of coming out and exploring same-sex attraction, I realized that there were certain clues along the way that I missed, but I at that time couldn't interpret him in that way. I lost my father when I was 3 years old in a farming accident, and so much of that early time I explained any confusion I had about being a man with the fact that I didn't have a father. And so that was kind of my go-to explanation for any of the things that were suggesting that I might have some same-sex attraction. But there was no one I would have felt comfortable talking to about it at all.
Let's talk about your marriage, because you did get married, as I said, to a woman, your now ex-wife, Lynn. How did you two meet, and what attracted you to Lynn?
We came from the same backgrounds. Our families had the same values. We both grew up in a small town, Nebraska. We were both of the same religious faith. I mean, all of the markers that suggested that we belonged together were there. We had so many things in common. We got married right after I graduated from medical school.
Was it a happy marriage, Lauren?
For the most part, yes. I mean, I interviewed her when I was writing my book, and I said, you know, did you ever feel like I wasn't totally present sexually in our marriage? And she said, no. She said, we were both inexperienced. And now that we've had other experiences with other people, we know that it wasn't as good as it could be. Mm. But at that time, it seemed like enough. And for the most part, we had interest in the same friends. We liked to do the same things. And so a lot of it was very happy. And I'm not sure how that changed. But, you know, about 2 years before our divorce, things became very strained between us. And I began to feel very lonely and isolated in our relationship. And we couldn't seem to get connected like we had earlier in our lives. And it was at that point that I began to think, I need some touch. I need some intimacy. I need something. And I began to consider the idea of having an affair. But I had no intention of having an affair with a man. I just needed somebody to be close to, and I had every intention that it would be with a woman.
We are talking this morning, if you're just joining us on Weekend Breakfast, to Dr. Lauren A. Olson, who is sharing with us his story of coming out later in life. Lauren was 40 years old and married to his now ex-wife, Lynn. They had children when he decided to leave and realized at that time that he was gay. Lauren, let's talk about that. So things were becoming strained with Lynn the last couple of years of your marriage, and you felt that you needed some intimacy, some touch in your words. And you had every intention of any relationship that you were going to pursue with being with a woman. Where did the idea then, or where did the realization or that moment of I'm gay or I'm attracted to men, what did it look like, and when did it come?
Well, at the time, I was going to the gym pretty often, and I was actually spending a lot of time at the gym because I was uncomfortable being at home. And so one day there was a man in the gym, and he was watching me while I was packing up my things ready to leave. And he kept smiling at me, and I'd look back at him, and every time I looked back, he was continuing to smile. And finally, he nodded his head toward a door, and I have no explanation for why, but I followed him down the hall to a private bathroom, and he showed me that he had an erection, and he asked me to meet him later in the week. And I agreed to do that, thinking it would be a one-off kind of thing. I thought, you know, I really would like to have a blow job. I thought that was the whole thing was going to happen. So I went to his house, and I arrived half an hour early because I was so excited to see him, and I was met at the door by his wife. One thing happened after another after that. We finally ended up getting together again at a later date. Again, I thought it was just going to be sort of casual sex with nothing more complicated than that. And what I wrote in the book was the moment I knew I was gay was when he kissed me. When he kissed me, there was a feeling inside of me that I had never experienced before with anyone, and not with my wife or anyone else I'd ever dated before. It showed me a level of sexual excitement that I had thought might exist, but I just had never experienced. And it was at that moment, as I wrote, that I began to say, you know, this is not just something casual, one-off, temporary kind of thing. I had thought that because he was married and I was married, it would be just sort of, it had boundaries around it. I didn't have to worry too much about it being any more than that. But at that moment, I began to realize that I had fallen in love with him. It began to get progressively more intense for both of us.
Was that the first time you'd ever been in love?
Boy, that's a tough question to answer. You know, I thought I was in love with my wife. I still love my wife. And I call her my wife because she's the only one I've ever had. And I don't like the word ex sounds okay. So final. And she's still a part of my life. So, you know, I had a love for her, but it was a different kind of love. And, you know, in English, we have only one word for love. And we define that word by the object of that love. You know, I love my wife. I love my husband. I loved Roberto at the time. I love ice cream. I love puppies. You know, we have to define what it is that we love to be able to understand what that means. And so I see the love that I had for Roberto and for my husband now and for my wife as being different in terms of the emotional feelings that generated within me.
Dr. Lauren A. Olson is the author of Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight, which I should just say for Pride Month is being sold at a discounted rate as an ebook. So please do get yourself to Amazon and get a copy of the book. And he's sharing with us this morning his experience of coming out later in life. And it's extraordinary. What's extraordinary about your story, I think, Lauren, is that it flies in the face of the belief by a lot of people, I think, that men who come out later in life have been purposefully, deliberately living a lie, spinning a trail of deceit with those around them, very often wives and children, knowing full well that they are gay, that they are attracted to and have relationships with other men. And that your story sort of flies in the face of that.
Yes, but my story is similar to a lot of the stories that I hear from other people. And, you know, some of the harshest criticism I receive about coming out late comes from within the gay community. You know, I've heard people say to me, you have no balls. You were deceiving your wife. You were lying. You know, there's a fair amount of criticism about that. But, you know, for those of us who were born in with fairly traditional values, some people do actually know and are think that their wife is going to fix it. It's going to solve the problem. Some wives know when they marry their husband that and they believe that they can fix it. Some have some thought that they can put it away again after they've had some same-sex experience. You know, there's a wide, wide variety. But I hear from lots and lots of men who come out later in life and have a family and children, and oftentimes the areas that lead to the greatest source of conflict for them are related to their commitment to their children and to religious values. Those are the primary areas of conflict that these men experience. But the reason I wrote my book was because I did a search of the literature, as most doctors would do, to see what was written about men who come out later in life. And there really wasn't much written about it. So I thought, well, I have a hypothesis, and that is that coming out for men in midlife is different than it is for those who come out at a younger life. And so I tested that out by doing a survey of a couple of hundred men, and it supported the idea that the process is more complicated in some ways. Not to say that it's less or more painful than coming out at any other age, but because of the history that you have of living a heteronormative life and the whole life structure that's built around that, and particularly with children, it involves a lot more complicated decisions, I think, in getting out of it. And, you know, many men that I talk with about the subject do love their wives, and they don't want to hurt them at all, and they go through a great deal of struggle around that. Now, that's not to say there aren't men who have betrayed their wives, who've put all the responsibility on them. I mean, there's a whole variety. One man, you know, said that if my wife wasn't such a drunk, I wouldn't be having sex with me. Well, you know, that's clearly not the case. But there are a lot of men who struggle with this decision for a lot of years, and often get very depressed about it, often feel like they're the only one. They're lonely. Many times they're suicidal, and many have attempted suicide. Part of my mission is really to reach out to those people and say, there is a way of dealing with this. And there is a hope for a different life.
I want to just go to that moment then that you knew that your marriage to Lynn was over, and what proceeded, because I imagine it wasn't just a case of coming home one evening and saying, "Hi, honey, I'm gay, I'm moving out," and then the next day you meet Doug and everything's hunky dory. Do you remember the conversation with Lynn where you had to make this revelation to her?
Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. It was very painful, very emotional. What happened, SJ, was that I've always been a writer. I've always liked to write, and so I was journaling some about my relationship with Roberto. I don't know whether she was looking for something on my computer or if I'd left it on. I don't know what happened, but anyhow, she printed off some things I'd written, and then she confronted me and said, "What's this all about?" And so it was at that moment that I confessed to her that I was gay and I had a relationship with Roberto. She, at that time, would have liked to have stayed married. Neither of us had divorce in our families at all, and so we were kind of be the first ones to go through that. And also, we were very concerned about our children's welfare and how that would impact them. So it was not easy for me in my head. My rational thinking at that time, whether or not it was reasonable or not, was that I can't stay married because I can't put this away anymore. I can't give up this attraction I feel for men, and I'm probably going to get busted somewhere by getting caught with my pants down at a rest stop or a public restroom or something like that, and that will bring greater pain to the family than if I leave now. And so that was the logic that I had about my decision. And plus, as I said, I discovered feelings I didn't know I could have, and I didn't want to give that up again.
Let's talk about your children. Everybody, particularly sort of the people on the more conservative end of things and people who perhaps don't really understand or choose not to understand the existence of lives outside the heteronormative, everyone's thought is always, but what about the children? What about your children? How is your relationship with your kids? What is their, they were how old when you came out?
They were 9 and 13.
Oh, that's a tough age.
And so they were not just children, little children anymore, but my 13-year-old daughter was, being a teenager, beginning to be a teenager, where she was more concerned about her own life at the time. And so she didn't realize that Lynn and I were having any conflicts at all. In terms of my coming out to them, I waited a year or so after I had left home before I felt comfortable telling them. And when I told them, they said, "We already knew," but they wouldn't tell me how. And, whether they picked up additional clues, whether they'd read something in my where I was living, I really don't know. I still don't know. They've been really very good about it. I think it's been harder for my older daughter in some ways than my younger daughter. But it's not uncommon for us to spend holiday time together or birthday celebrations with Lynn and her husband and Doug and I and varying numbers of kids. In fact, I'm working in the Virgin Islands now, and Lynn and I are planning to come down here with our spouses and our children and grandchildren to spend the Christmas holidays down in the Virgin Islands together. And, that didn't come easily. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of forgiveness. It requires a lot of commitment from spouses as well. I've been very lucky in terms of my sons-in-law accepting me. My grandchildren have always had Doug in their lives, so he's kind of a bonus grandpa for them. And I like to share this story because, you know, you hear so many stories about how families remain estranged and can't get along at all. My experience is different than that. And I think there are ways that people can reach that kind of rapprochement if they really work on it. But it takes a lot of time and the capacity to forgive and accept our own faults and the ways that we have contributed to the fracture in their marriage.
Before we wrap, Lauren, one question would you have, looking back retrospectively, would you have done anything differently? And a second question, we live in a world now where, yes, there is still unforgivable homophobia, transphobia. Members of the LGBTQI plus community are still targeted. They are marginalized. But there is also what I think is wonderful is that young people are able to live their authentic selves. I hope that it's a reflection of us generally as a society becoming more evolved and accepting of others. Do you look at the younger generation, the younger gay generation, with envy or with concern?
Both.
Right.
I guess. To answer your first question, I live my life without regret. Mm. You know, I made some decisions that in retrospect may look like bad decisions. The affair was certainly a bad decision. But at the time, it seemed like the right decision. And why should I second guess a decision that seemed so right with the information that I had available at the time? I'm not saying I didn't make mistakes, but I feel like I made the choices that seemed right at the time. And so I don't feel a lot of shame or guilt about those things. And I've been able to forgive myself for that. And apparently Lynn has as well. In terms of, people say it's a lot easier for kids these days. And in the sense that they have role models available and people in the media, on movies and television, who are living happy gay lives, they see that more than we had exposure to at the time. But it's still not easy, you know. At one of my book readings, there was an older woman there, and she after I was done, she raised her hand. She said, "My grandson came over to me and said, 'Grandma, I'm gay.'" And I told him it didn't matter to me. I still loved him. He went home and told his dad, and his dad said, "I will not have a gay son." And this young man went out and shot himself. So this kind of stuff is still happening for people, depending on a lot of things. So, you know, if we look at it globally, yes, there's more. It's an easier situation in some ways. On an individual basis, if you're in a family that has absolutely no acceptance or understanding about it, it's not any easier than it was when I was young.
The book is called Finally Out, Letting Go of Living Straight, by my guest this morning, Dr. Lauren Olson. Please do get yourselves a copy for Pride Month. It's been hugely discounted as an ebook on Amazon. There's also an audio book, which you can pick up at audible.com. Lauren, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us this morning.